Is it audio though? Only?
Yeah, it's only audio. I appreciate you putting on lipstick, but it's only audio.
I wear lipstick regularly, so it's not just for you, DP.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Sorry. Stroke your ego with someone else.
One of these days, maybe we'll put up a video version as well. But for now, let's just talk. And yeah. I want to talk because, as you will recall, I was pretty much floored when I saw Military Mama Network featured in a nationwide Facebook group commercial. One, it was a really good commercial.
It was really good.
You know, as a longtime creative director, I'm going, oh, this is really fun, well shot, really well concepted.
Yeah.
And then even you made a cameo in it, unloading some.
I had to look real fast, though.
Yeah, because it was a very dynamic spot. But here's the thing. How does a Facebook group that was launched, I believe, in 2013 get on the radar of Facebook to the point that they invite you to be in one of the first commercials they do touting Facebook groups? I mean, how cool is that?
It's so cool. Yeah, super cool. So the commercial, what I love to talk about with that, which is a few things. The lady who was the director of photography for the commercial was the woman who did Black Panther.
Wow.
Right?
Oh my God. Okay. So what we're talking about here is that Jerry Ann Weisbrook, who I'm talking to, located someplace in Northern Illinois, right?
Right.
I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. So we're close neighbors. Kind of.
In a Fiddler on the Roof kind of way.
Yeah. Her group, Military Mama Network, a Facebook group primarily, I believe.
Yeah.
Was featured in a Facebook ad that came out right around the holiday time period. So if you were watching anything, you undoubtedly saw it because they played it a lot. At least I saw it probably 20 times.
Well, I saw it 3, I think. And only because they told me when to watch because I just wasn't home. But yeah, it was definitely, what's that word? Saturation, like air saturation, which was super exciting because people would say, oh my gosh, I just saw the commercial. They shot it in October. Well, actually, there were 5 versions of 2 commercials. So one they shot in Chicago in a really cool neighborhood called Beverly, old houses. And so, you know, like I spent a couple years in very rural Wisconsin, Adams Friendship. And it's like all like Civil War era houses and like really old, like pre-craftsman style, like with these great front porch, wraparound porches. That's the kind of houses they had in Beverly. So they rented one for the day and filmed what they call the platform commercial, which is the stuff that ran on the internet. And everyone thought that was my house. And I'm like, no, that's not my house.
Right.
My house would fit in 2 of those rooms. And then they filmed out in LA and areas around a TV commercial, which I'm just so thrilled with. Both of them for 2 reasons. Like they really, really captured in 30 seconds, like what we do, what we're about. And more than that, like even the feel of who we are, which is a really super interesting thing. If we're talking about being true to your brand and authenticity, I have a lot I didn't know 6 months ago that I know and speak about regularly now. But you know how we captured their attention. It's a years long story, right? So we launched as a group September 2013. So this September will be 7 years old. And our thing is, we were just doing what we do. Like, we exist to help other people, and our first priority is to be kind, and that shouldn't really be noteworthy, but it is on social media. And so, and we have a super crazy high engagement rate, like crazy, crazy high. And so they had reached out like 2 years ago and said, hey, would you come to this summit? And I thought I was being punked. I really thought my son and his college buddies were like playing a trick on me, but it turns out they weren't. And you know, if we're talking about like how to get noticed, honestly, DP, I think that the biggest thing was, one, we were true to ourselves, right? And we didn't, we are literally a no sales, an apolitical zone. Everything that we do, we try to, you know, voice in a positive manner, but we don't water ourselves down to make it palatable for other people. So if people get mad and leave, then sorry for that. And, you know, we have philosophical differences, but, you know, that's kind of who we are and what we do. And if you don't like that, then this probably isn't the group for you anyway. But the other thing that was really intriguing, I think, for Facebook is that we went out into the world to do things immediately. Like it might have even been before we had the first group, because we have over 100 groups, which is also really attractive to them. You know, we meet in local communities to create impact locally. And that's a big value of Facebook, is don't just live on the screen, go out in the world and change it. and impact it. And so I think kind of all of that matched together. And the other thing is, like, I genuinely love and respect the people that I've worked with. And so when they say, can you, if there's any way that I can, I say yes. And I don't expect anything, well, prior to this, I don't expect anything back from them, just because I want to help other people who are creating groups and doing things. And if I can teach about, you know, how to deal with bullying within our group, and they can teach the broader public about it, or, you know, we created a leadership training track that they patterned a training track against, you know, why wouldn't you help other people? But again, apparently that's kind of noteworthy, so...
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way. Military Mama Network. Let me describe the TV spot, because I bet you a lot of listeners have seen the TV spot, at least during the holiday season. It was basically a premise that started out with a female soldier deployed overseas. The dad's at home with a couple of kids, and he's doing exactly what dads do when mom's not around, struggling to do everything. And, you know, it's right around holiday time, and the deployed soldier is saying, hey, how's everything going? You know, essentially asking if the Christmas shopping getting done almost. And he's like, don't worry, I've got it covered. And then he goes onto the Military Mama Network Facebook group. That's right. The mom, because a guy will never ask for help, right?
In my experience, that's very true.
Yeah. So the mom who's deployed overseas goes on to Military Mama Network, kind of, she wasn't necessarily asking for help, but she was just saying, you know, it's really difficult to be deployed overseas during the holidays and know that your loved one is doing the best they can, but maybe could use a little help. And then boom, right? The Military Mama group just takes the bull by the horns, and, you know, they're stripping lights off their own house so they can put them on the house of the soldiers. Family.
That lady is a veteran. The lady who did that piece in the commercial is an Army veteran. How cool is that?
So it's this powerful group of primarily women, but a few men as well, or a few good men, as you say on your banner in the Facebook group, rallying around the family to support the kids. And so, you know, Christmas Day comes up, the kids get out of bed and they run out and the whole house is decorated. And the dad's like, how did this happen? And the answer is Military Mama Network got off their butts and did their duty to the soldier who was deployed overseas.
Yeah,
I mean, really great spot. And one of the things I loved about it was that, I'm going to say something that might be mildly controversial. We all see, especially in our Facebook feeds, those reunion videos of soldier surprises kid at basketball game, everybody cries. And those are heartwarming and touching, but they're also manipulative, if you ask me. Your version of supporting the troops and supporting the troops' families is much more, let's not take the emotion out of it, but let's put the action into it, which is we're going to do stuff to help the deployed and to help the people who are serving at home, you know, in any way you can. And that TV spot in 30 seconds didn't just tell your story, but it showed it. It demonstrated your story. And as everyone who listens to this podcast knows, I'm a big one for brands don't talk, they don't tell. They show via demonstration. You demonstrate who you are, what you do, and how you do it so that you can build your brand, whether it's a personal brand, whether it's a group brand like Military Mama Network, et cetera. So kudos to you and the entire production team for capturing that dynamism in action.
They really did. I mean, really, it's extraordinary. And a lot of people ask, like, you know, what the genesis of that commercial was. That actually happened within the first year of us existing. We had an Air Force doctor who we were sending hygiene products to, and she was really struggling with the fact that her kids were very young, toddlers at home, and she'd missed the first one learning to walk, and now the second one's learning to talk. You know, and ultimately she left the service because of the price that her family was paying and that she was paying, her children were paying. And so people thought that they made that story up. I'm like, no, that legitimately happened the first year that we were together. And, you know, we just keep doing that. And I think that if we're going to be talking about brands, like Facebook did a phenomenal job representing our brand. I think they do a really great job, like capturing stories of groups and other service things. But it's like being true to yourself, like what you're talking about. You can't say, oh, I believe in this, and then act in a different way. And sometimes that means the alignment of those two things are going to cause like great personal grief, right? Whether it's like taking hits, because I've taken them, and I'm sure you have too. When you stand for something, there are people who won't agree with it.
Right.
And continuing to do that and being true to yourself and keep checking back to your mission. Like, our mission hasn't changed. Our mission has been tweaked a little bit from the very first night when we created the group together at 11 o'clock Eastern time on September 11th. And I said, hey, how should we like say our mission and what should we call ourselves and stuff like that? If you change when the wind blows, what your values are or how you express it or who you serve, no one's going to pay attention to you.
I was looking at the guidelines to join the network, and you've got a very clear list of guidelines. Some of them come off almost like military regulations. I mean, talking about OPSEC and, operational security and all that stuff. But it's absolutely true. If you post a photo of your soldier serving overseas, you might be inadvertently giving some valuable intelligence to the world that shouldn't be given out. So you're very concerned about operational security, things like that. One of the ones I loved, especially in our very divided times here politically in the United States of America, was a very simple thing about supporting the commander in chief. We support the commander in chief because essentially that's the commander in chief of every single soldier, airman, marine, and sailor serving overseas. Let's not talk about that. Let's support our men and women overseas by supporting the command structure, regardless of who's in command, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I said it when President Obama was in, and I'm saying it now when President Trump's in. When President Trump's gone, the next person's going to come in, and I'm going to be saying it still. Like, there are people who love him. There are people who hate him. It doesn't matter, because in the end, he is my son's and every other service member's commander in chief. And we have to respect the office, not necessarily the person, but within our group, disrespect is just disrespect is certainly disallowed. But at that level, 100%. You know, the other thing, DP, is don't tell me who you voted for, but vote. Like, we Amen. Are a country that was born literally in blood for the right to vote. And when 47% of people opt out, they can't really complain about who's leading.
Well, and also, you can have your own opinions about the military, but the fact is, what is it? Under 10% of Americans serve? 1%. Under 1% of Americans actually serve?
Yeah, it used to be the 2%, but it's between 1% and 2% now. Yeah.
So the bottom line is that all the freedoms that we have as a society are provided by less than 1% of Americans. That's that's crazy. But it also points to the need for an organization like yours, which is, we understand that you may not agree with the foreign policy that sends soldiers overseas and makes them have to do what they have to do. But let's face it, we would not have the country we have without the people who serve. Let's serve the people who serve.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's one of the best lessons that we learned from Vietnam. This always gets me crying. I have a lot of friends who served in Vietnam, and they did not raise their hand. They were told to go. And they went and they served with honor and distinction. And then they came home and they were treated in a vile way. You know, I mean, I have a friend who was spit on coming off the plane. I have another friend who got eggs thrown at him. I had another friend who had a Dear John letter on the table when he got home. I had another friend that has been, you know, Vietnam is 50 years in our history.
Right.
And one person at Christmas time, we did a really special thing for him. And he literally, that was the first time he ever spoke of Vietnam to his family. And he told them for an hour stories of Vietnam he had never talked about before. because the pain was so great. And even now, like when we say to Vietnam veterans, you know, and they're finally like proudly wearing their hats and I love or their coats and their jackets and stuff, you know, thank you for your service. A lot of times you'll hear things like it's too late or thank you, but that was a long time ago. And like, you can see the like twisting of their heart. And I think that, you know, we've learned as a country that, listen, I don't agree with war ever. Right. It is a horrific thing. That are there times when we should be at war? Yeah. Do we have to unfortunately use violence to protect rights? I don't know. I'm not at that level. It's way, way, way above my pay grade. But the fact that I know people who have lost limbs and lost lives and lost children and spouses that they love because of war, I hate war. But in the end, there's someone over there who's far from home, who doesn't get to say what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, or who they're going to talk to, or when they're going to talk, who takes shots standing in the middle of a desert or in the middle of a snow pile. We don't do that. And if what I have to do is give up a coffee to make something easier for them or for their families back home, because no one's supporting the families back home, TP.
Yeah.
Like everyone at Christmas time, they're inundated. Like our troops are inundated with Girl Scout cookies and Christmas boxes. And aren't we so wonderful? But where are those people in March? You know, right. And where are they when the families need help? We have families that literally qualify for food stamps while their loved one is in a combat zone. So a lot of people don't know that, boy, you unplugged it now. A lot of people don't know that you get extra money if you're separated from your family for an extended period of time. So like my son is in and he's married and has kids. He doesn't, but let's say he does. If he has to serve for an extended period of time and leave his family home, he gets extra pay. If he's in a combat zone, he gets extra pay. Even with those two circumstances, our junior enlisted, the kids who are in 1 or 2 or 3 years, qualify for food stamps, right? So he's getting shot at or she's getting shot at. She's not going to see his family. They're not going to see each other for months. And the spouse back home is getting food stamps.
That indicates the massive need that is out there. And the group Military Mama Network, a Facebook group, is really designed to help try to serve the people primarily at home?
No, actually, we split it pretty evenly, which is where I was headed when I got off my soapbox was, you know, and so we support the families back home. We help them with school supplies and we help them with clothes and we do baby showers and, you know, we do Christmas like we did that whole commercial about making Christmas for kids. Like Mission Elf's been around for 4 years for us and all, you know, we have expectations. You have to be active duty, like right related to active duty or a disabled veteran. And we ask pretty specific questions so we can weed out the people who are maybe embellishing what's going on. And we just provide them Christmas because they can't. Like they're literally barely making ends meet or they're not. And so then what do you do about Christmas? You don't pay your bills or you don't get your kids a great Christmas. And so we just wanted to give kids a great Christmas. But at the same time, we're literally sending Christmas overseas to one unit. And there's like a stuff that they have to do. Like we have to be able to communicate with them and make sure they can put it up. But we literally send a tree and ornaments and not tinsel, but garland and stockings and hot chocolate and real coffee cups, not paper coffee cups and Christmas music and Christmas movies and popcorn. And for every service member that's in that unit, they get a box that's specifically created over a course of 6 weeks. So it's affordable for our people. And then they wrap it up and they send it over. And while that unit's opening Christmas, they know that their families back home are being taken care of too. And that they're having the same kind of Christmas experience. And it's their wish list that we fulfill.
You kind of blew over the name earlier. It's Mission Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Very, very cool.
Operation Christmas Train for our troops and Mission Elf back home. So yeah, it's really, and like we always look for stuff like that with our veterans. We do a lot of work with homeless veterans, but you know, at the same time we do like thank you notes, or we know that someone's alone and we'll see if we can get somebody to connect with them. We've had mamas go to hospitals, and this is something, man, I would love to get into, but with HIPAA, it's really hard. You know, there's a lot of people in VA hospitals that are alone. They never have a visitor come and read to them or play cards with them. And we want to, like, we keep grinding, trying to get in there so that we can just go in and, like, play cards with someone who's lonely, who's served our country and is recovering. So, yeah, I got a lot. But that commercial was freaking amazing. And it just says, it tells the power of being really clear about who you are and listening really well. Like, if you're in branding, listening really well to the stories that people tell where you can capture who they are and reflect it, because they're telling the stories that are closest to their hearts, that are closest to their mission, that they're most excited about. And when we listen to those stories, we get this great like freeway into what they hold most dear. And then we get to retell it or help them share it in a more powerful way.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
The cool thing that I keep hearing you say is that you're aware that Military Mama Network needs to brand itself, or that it has a brand foundation. And it sounds like maybe when you started, you didn't think that way, or you weren't thinking in that framework, but now increasingly you are. Is that true?
So my niece, Melissa, works for Clear Channel Outdoor in Florida. And she did then. And she immediately, I can't go out in public representing Military Mama Network if I'm not wearing red or blue. There is no black or tan in my wardrobe for public appearances. The tagline was created. And, you know, initially she was like, oh, you can do this on Word. There's some really great stuff. And I had a friend who did the dog tags that we have now are really an homage to the one that we had first. So we've been branded super, super early on. We just elevated it. I was invited to speak at Disney. And we paid more than we thought we could survive at that time to get our branding really on point and get a lot of materials produced. And then really that's what we've been using ever since. So it's probably been 4 years that we've been branded the way we are. I just think that people think of branding and they think of McDonald's, the arch, right?
Right.
Or Burger King, have it your way. But it's also the behaviors that go into that brand that I don't think people talk about that a lot.
Well, you are preaching to the choir here, because if you think your branding is just your logo or your colors or your typography or maybe a slogan or tagline, I'm going to say, yeah, well, that's part of branding, but it's really a small part.
Right.
You guys created that foundation of who you are, what you do, and how you do it early on. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the regulations to become a member of the group, and you are enforcing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're non-political. We're concerned about the safety of the soldiers, airmen, Marines, and sailors, wherever they're serving. So don't post stuff that could put them in danger. You know, all these things are part of your brand foundation. And it sounds like you really are the primary brand cop of Military Mama Network.
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, definitely. But I have a great team. There's 15 of us that, you know, oversee the group and kind of nurture it. But I have one, she's actually on our board, and she's become a very, very close friend, that she's our liability cop. If I'm the brand cop, she's the watch out, we can't do this, we shouldn't do this. And when we had that Iran thing pop off around the holidays, we had to tighten up even more, because our standard is that we follow what the DOD does, right? So the DOD says, the Department of Defense, does this, then we're going to follow this. And these are our standards. It's hard. And she keeps an eye on that. So I love that we have people who take a particular corner that they're really passionate about and take full power and make sure that it's consistent, because I think it's the inconsistency that frustrates our members. And I think the general public, right? If you go into, again, to McDonald's, which I don't even eat, you know, you go into McDonald's and you want a quarter pounder. You want that quarter pounder. You want those gross diced onions, right? And the cheese and the warm pickle. And you expect that. What you don't expect is a Whopper wrapped up in a quarter pounder package. And so to be consistent, where you're going to get skinny fries at McDonald's, you're going to get fat fries at Wendy's, that's really important on the physical brand stuff. But I think that people lose sight of the fact that in the non-physical and in the service or the social end of things, that you have to be equally consistent. And you also have to over explain things. If you think you've said it until you could just bomb it because you've said it so many times, say it 10 more times.
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. We're still explaining why we no longer allow pictures of, you know, folks in uniform, which kill me. My son gets promoted. I can't put it in there. I can say he's promoted, but I'm not going to put a picture of him in uniform. But that's what the DOD standard is. And it's to keep our kids safe, and kids being offspring is not children, right? And even talking about that where, oh man, I'm telling you, DP, I could talk all day about this.
And the whole thing is, you are talking about it all day in the form of frequent posting on the Military Mama Network. Is the Military Mama Network Facebook group open to anyone, or do you have to have a person in your family serving? Or tell us about that, and also how people could join the group if they were interested?
Well, so our thing is, if you love our troops and U.S. troops being in, I mean, we love Australia and Britain and Canada, but we serve the U.S. troops. So if you love our troops and veterans and you want to be a supporter, come in. We do have questions. You need to answer them. If you don't answer them, you don't get in.
Boom. Right there.
Super, super cut and dry. So like how they can join is find us. It's Military Mama, M-A-M-A. Network, and it is a closed group. So what goes on in there isn't seen out in the public, which is really important to our people. But everybody's welcome. And especially if you have someone who has served or is serving, is thinking about serving, and we've got a lot of mamas who don't know anything. They don't have any military in their family. And so they're like, I don't even know what this means. Like, I don't know what they're saying to us. But then we've got people who have family who served in like Korea and Vietnam, and we're just so honored that they would want to spend time in our community.
That's really what Facebook wants groups to be, which is specific, safe places for like-minded individuals to share, to work together, to support, et cetera. And it sounds like Military Mama Network is doing that and more for all the people serving overseas and their families who are serving at home. Because never forget, they also serve who only sit and wait. Is that what the old poet said?
Yeah, we have a thing about that. These superintendents talk about, you know, 80% of our troops don't serve overseas ever. They never leave the continental U.S. And so when you start thinking about that, that matters. And then this is the families back home. We don't say they serve, they sacrifice, because I don't wear the uniform, but I miss my son.
Yeah.
You know, I missed my sister when she served. I missed my brother when he served. My nephew is in Japan right now. And like he's missed. And it's such a echo because my sister was in Japan when I got married and it was supposed to be my wedding and wasn't. Missed my firstborn children. We missed her children being born. And, you know, so like those kinds of sacrifices were like one quick story. My niece was getting married, my branding niece, and the whole family. Like it was the first wedding of the cousins, and the cousins all spent every summer break and every Christmas break in my house. So they like came up together, and my son was supposed to be in the wedding. And at the last minute, his leave got yanked. And so her programs have been printed like that close to it happening. And, you know, so there we were FaceTiming him because that's all that we could do, you know, and that's always going to be a part of her wedding story, you know, and for him, it was sad. Like he was stuck doing stupid stuff that he could have, and in my opinion, should have been able to go, but he had a commanding officer who didn't want to let him go and has every right to. As his commanding officer was like, it shouldn't have gotten up that far. It should have been nixed at the beginning, but oversight and people not paying attention to dates and like the sacrifice and the real melancholy moments when you have someone who you love fiercely, not there because they said yes to serving our country.
Yeah. Well, if you have anybody in your family or your network or your community that is serving in any of the armed services of the United States of America, or certainly are, you know, home sacrificing, have them check out Military Mama Network, the Facebook group. All you have to do is search Military Mama Network up in that search box and it'll pop up. Answer some questions to prove you're not a bot and that you will, of course, adhere to the regulations.
We do check that box.
Yeah. Yep. And you'll find this vibrant community. And by the way, it's not just 10 people. It's not just 1,000 people. When I first started paying attention to it, it was right around 15,000. It is now today at 19,253 members.
It's just our main group. We have 100 groups, and they're not all, people aren't all in the same one. And our page is, I think, at like 8,000, and only 2,000 of them are in our group. So, yeah, it's a beast of a network. It's big.
Well, we're going to come back next week and talk about Jerry Ann's Facebook strategy, because we met. Well, we'll get into how we met, because it's a pretty funny story, on the next episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. For now, I'm DP Knutin for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I invite you to like, subscribe, refer, and most of all, review this podcast, because it really helps people find it. And she is
Jerry Ann Weisbrook, Military Mama Network.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.